This week's Friday Fix is brought to you by our friends over at SurlyRamex.com. If you have not yet been over to SurlyRamex.com to check out their one-of-a-kind handmade ceramic jewelry, you are totally missing out, my friends. Amy Davis Roth, the designer at SurlyRamex.com, is a good friend to the Dark Overlord universe and a good friend to Scott and myself. And she makes the coolest jewelry and coasters. There are pendants, there are bracelets, there are earrings, there are cufflinks. If that's not enough for you, she has specific Siglerverse jewelry. Empty set symbols, no bout a doubt it, dead equals dead. All sorts of stuff if you want to take a gander at some of the art she has that's Sigler specific. If you are a fan of Campbell Award winner Mer Lafferty, also a good friend of ours, there is jewelry specific to The Shambling Guide to New York City. She has over 400 designs available, every single one painted, formed, and created by her in her workshop in Hollywood. So head on over to SurlyRamex.com. And if you find something you want to buy, use the code Sigler at checkout. That's S-I-G-L-E-R. It saves you 10%. It helps keep this podcast free. It's my favorite place to go to find myself something cool and nice and new. And remember, if you head over there, use the code Sigler at checkout to save 10%. And tell Amy we said hi.
Welcome to the Friday Fix, where we give you news and interviews from the world of Siglerism. An extra hit to string you out until Sunday story. And now here's your host, Dark Overlord Media's director of doom, a real girl herself, a callback.
Hey, junkies, this is A Real Girl coming to you with a special Thursday edition of the Friday Fix. And I have a special guest again today.
Hello.
Hello, Scott Sigler. How are you?
I am great. I'm awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So we are running a quick little Friday Fix because we did the booking a tour little podcast before you went out on tour, and you are just about to head home at the end of the pandemic tour, so I thought we'd do a very quick wrap-up.
All right.
So, how'd it go?
It was awesome. It was 8 cities in 9 days, the last 7 of which were 7 cities in 7 days. So, it was a little crazy getting hither and to and hither and yon, etc. But every stop was great. We had a packed house at every stop. Mm-hmm. And we had happy people asking lots of questions, and we went to the bar after every stop except for Nashville because we had to do a fly-in, fly-out in Nashville the same day. But it was best tour ever. It was fantastic.
And how was that polar vortex? How'd that treat you?
I had no problems with weather. I got super lucky. Boston was supposed to be completely canceled. I was told that the Boston airport would be shut down. I flew from Chicago to Boston on time, no delays. I land. It's sunny in Boston. 1 degree. They're a very poor city. They can only afford 1 degree.
They have 1 degree.
They have one degree, and they have to share it amongst all the people of the city. But I had no problems with weather the whole time. Everything went great. Every time I landed in a place, it was sunny out. It was preposterous. It was great.
I know. It was really nice for me to see that that you made it out, and so did in Chicago when it was snowing. You had a huge house in. Mm-hmm. Boston, when it was so cold, you had a packed house again, and they all hung out. In Baltimore, I think it was snowing or sleeting or raining or something that night, and you had a crazy packed house, which seemed like a lot of fun. And that's good, because, you know, you want just that. We want just that. If you're going to make the effort to get there so that you don't let anybody down, it would be kind of crummy for people to think, like, oh, I'm sure it's canceled, so I'm not going to go, and then miss you being there if they had wanted to see you. So that was nice.
And there was a lot of people on Twitter and Facebook, you know, like, oh, you're having a tour? When are you in Chicago? The day after we leave Chicago.
That always happens, though.
And you sort of feel bad at the same time. Well, anybody listening to this podcast probably listens on a regular basis and doesn't have to go through all that. But we do everything we can on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, Pinterest, Instagram, G+, newsletters, podcasts, everything we can to get the word out. And invariably somebody's like, oh, that's a bummer.
I know you you had the pandemic book tour, but you also had the Lamps Across America tour on Instagram.
We had Lamps Across America on Instagram
it's
and Facebook.
Ludicrous,
it was kind of fun. There's a lot of nice lamps in this. There's a lot of nice lamps and one ugly one in this world.
I see. So, you got through the tour okay, and a couple of people asked you, tell me how rock and roll this is. And honestly, is it all that rock and roll?
Well, you know, it's rock and roll from the perspective when you see the rock stars touring and they show up on stage and like, how you doing, Cleveland? You know, and like, you don't see all the other stuff.
What is it that people don't see that you lived through on your rock and roll week on the road? I'd say 5:30 a.m. flights.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah. Getting out of bed at 4 o'clock in the morning after being at the bar the night before. But that's part of the thing. And very early flights, and the Nashville day was tough because I flew from Baltimore.
Started in Baltimore.
Flew to Nashville, drove to the Nashville gig, did the Nashville gig, drove right back to the airport, flew to Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. So it was super cool, but it adds up.
Yep, and there were a couple of stops, I think Chicago and maybe Baltimore, or Chicago and Boston maybe, where you were busy talking to everybody who'd come out to see you, and you didn't eat anything.
Yeah, and I didn't have too much problem with that, but there were several stops where didn't get a chance to eat, and then you try and eat when you get back to the hotel at 11 o'clock or midnight,
right. and then get up at 4 in the morning.
Get up at 4 in the morning.
That
yes.
is the rock and roll lifestyle, though.
Yes, but it was this was the first tour I've ever been on where I wasn't working on at least one deadline project, mm-hmm. so I was not writing right up to the minute I had to go to the bookstore, and then writing on the airplane all the time, and that made a huge difference, and that's probably what made this the most fun of all the tours.
Okay, so that's sort of all the good news. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you wish had gone better? Anything you would do differently? Anything you learned this trip out?
Well, it's really tough when you're signing everything and trying to be very careful to get everybody's name exactly right, because I screwed up a couple of names in the books, like PC Hearing, whose name is P.C. Somehow I screwed that up. But mm-hmm. I get so overwhelmed trying to make sure I get everything right that I literally blank out on names of people I know all the time.
Right.
And have to, on the one hand, I ask everybody to spell their name now because I really don't want to screw. These books are expensive. I don't want to buy somebody's $25 book because I got the inscription wrong.
Right.
So I just ask everybody to spell their name. And some people get flustered, but
Well, and I saw that happen. I was with you in LA, and I saw that happen with LJ, who you know, mm-hmm. and who comes to the Hell Week. And but I think part of it is you're looking down at the book. I mean, you look up at them, but you're looking down at the book so that when they're talking and telling you how they spell their name, you're watching what you're writing so you don't screw it up. And of course, he says LJ, which isn't I have that same problem with my name being A, where people are like, oh, is that spelled A?
Right.
So he said LJ, and you're looking down at the book and you're like, is that Elgin? And you look up and you're like, oh, for fuck's sake, I know that guy.
and it's one of my weaker, everybody's got the things that they just wig out about, and mm-hmm. I get wigged out about it way beyond any realm of normality or necessity. I'm like so freaked out that I'm going to goof up somebody's name that I goof up people's names. And I'm looking right at people. I'm like, I've known you for 10 years, or a couple people I went to high school with. I'm like blanked out. And so that's very upsetting because I know that bothers people when I do that. But, like some people are afraid of spiders, and that's my thing that gets at me, and I can't make my brain work.
I think that happened at every stop. I know it happened with somebody you went to high school with in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I know it happened to somebody in Boston, mm-hmm. who you know from San Francisco. I know it obviously happened in LA. But mm-hmm. I wonder if there's comfort. I'm a girl who everybody spells my name wrong. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets my name wrong. So I wonder for those folks who are like, are you kidding me? You totally know who I am.
Yes.
I wonder if there's some comfort to know you do that every time because you're so wigged out about it.
I hope so. I hope there is because it's the worst. It is the worst part of the tour that I spin myself up beyond any realm. Like, I just spin myself up over this and I get worked up because I just don't want anybody to be upset about anything on the tour because they're taking time out of their busy day. And I wish I could get my head around it, but it just trips me out. So we're going to start going to we're going to go to the Post-it things from now on. And everybody has to write their name down on a Post-it.
Sure.
So the only thing is the very last book I signed, Eric in San Diego brought it up and he had somehow avoided the Post-it, but I was able to remember that one. So
nice,
I finished strong. I was good. Like, oh, that's E-R-I-C, right? And finished good. Strong. Yeah.
So you are on your way home and back to work tomorrow?
Yes, absolutely. Back to work tomorrow. Starting work on stories, starting to work on GFL Book 5 Second Draft.
I know that's important because Saturday is our big pre-order day.
Saturday, February 1st, Super Bowl Saturday.
That is 2 days. Well, today's Thursday. Friday's two days away. When this airs, it'll be 2 days away.
It's crazy.
9 a.m. Pacific time. I am sorry for all you Pacific Islanders and Australians. I know that stinks for you, but these things happen. And it'll be just like every other pre-order. We have a new website, so we're hoping that works out. But get in early, be patient. We'll get all that sorted out.
Right.
If you have not yet done it, if you want to go pre-fill your address info, or they want to go pre-fill their address information, they can order the rookie curriculum guide.
Right, which is free.
Which is free and is just a download, but I have left on the requirement to put in a shipping address so that you pre-populate the shipping address
right.
so that when they go back on Saturday, if they haven't cleared the cache on their computer, it'll still be there.
So if they want to get a shortcut in getting all their information on the site, they should download the rookie curriculum guide at scottsegler.com/shop.
Mm-hmm.
And just download that, fill in all your information, then that information's pre-populated when they come to buy GFL Book 5 on Super Bowl Saturday.
That's it.
Okay. And don't forget, and how do they get their inscription information?
On the address page. So once they order and they click through to check out, the next page they get is the address, the shipping and billing address page.
Mm-hmm.
That, if you order the curriculum guide ahead of time, will already be filled out. Both of those things will be filled out. But on the right-hand column down at the bottom, there's an order notes section.
Mm-hmm.
That's blank. And the order notes section is where you're going to put, where people will put their personalization requests
okay.
in there. And of course, people always know that they can email media@scottsegler.com or info@mtset.com or whatever if they have any trouble and they've forgotten to do that, which happens quite a lot actually.
Okay.
But hopefully you see the order notes section and you do that, and hopefully all that pre-order goes off without a hitch on Super Bowl mm-hmm. Saturday. And who do you think's going to win the Super Bowl?
I think the Seahawks are going to win. I think the Seahawks are a brutal defensive team, and they're going to come after Peyton Manning. If they can put Peyton Manning on the deck twice in the first half, they'll win. If they can't get to Peyton Manning, they will lose by three touchdowns.
It's an interesting thing though. I mean, I don't think that you're necessarily wrong about that, but I also think he's a pretty good quarterback. And he might see that coming.
He's exceptional. But I also think that Seattle is perfectly willing to take two roughing the quarterback penalties just to put the old man on his butt and see if he can recover and if he can get up from that. So watch, that's my prediction for the game. Watch for Seattle to throw caution to the wind, and they want a Super Bowl, and they're perfectly willing to hit the quarterback after the whistle to do that.
I desperately want Peyton Manning to win. I think he deserves it.
It would be great if he did. Either way, I think it's going to be a great Super Bowl, and I will be happy with either team. They're two exceptional teams. They're great clubs. They've done everything correctly, both sides of the ball, both teams, and I'm very really excited that there's not a Chachi team in the Super Bowl this year. They're both good programs.
Okay, so before we go, you've given us a Super Bowl prediction. Any GFL 5? Galaxy Bowl?
No.
Anything?
Absolutely. Well, we don't even know if there's going to be a Galaxy Bowl in GFL 5. We don't
know
if there'll be a season.
Very nice. You could give us a little spoiler.
I got nothing. I got nothing for all you people. Buy the damn book and read it.
does Quentin show up again?
Yes, he does.
Oh, that's at least
in the beginning of the book, he
spoiler
shows up.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. We'll see if he makes it through the end of the book.
All right, Junkies. We'll come back at 9 a.m. on Saturday, this coming Saturday, to
February 1st.
February 1st, 2014, to pre-order your copy of GFL Book 5. Come back tomorrow, Friday. We have a special Friday fix with a new fun, it's a video Friday fix with a new fun little GFL-related
It's not little. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
It's a big GFL deal, and a lot of people are going to crap.
I was slow burning it, but you ruined it.
I see. Okay.
Anyway, thanks so much, Junkies. We'll talk to you real soon.
You have been listening to The Friday Fix, hosted by A. Kovacs, produced by the A-Team of A. Kovacs and Ariok Morningstar. Content in this podcast is copyright of Dark Overlord Media and might just kick you in the nuts when you're not looking. For more information on author Scott Sigler and for free weekly audio fiction, visit scottsigler.com. Theme music is the song City of Angels by The Distillers off the album Sing Sing Death House.